Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we hear about a new United Arts Fund for Tulsa, which will be kicking off next month. What is a United Arts Fund? Well, it's very much like the United Way, except instead of providing a percentage of funding for social service organizations, a United Arts Fund provides funding for arts and cultural institutions. 39 initial member organizations of Arts Alliance Tulsa have been chosen. They vary from traditional performing arts groups in music, theater, and dance to the visual arts, to arts education groups, to museums, and cultural organizations like Circle Cinema, Fab Lab, and the Tulsa Botanic Garden. The first fundraising campaign for Arts Alliance Tulsa will begin on February 1st. And joining me to speak about the benefits of a United Arts Fund and how the fund will work here in Tulsa is Phil Lakin, the CEO of the Tulsa Community Foundation, who's long been a supporter of a United Arts Fund in our community, and the first executive director of Arts Alliance Tulsa, Todd Cunningham. Todd and Phil, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Gentlemen, let me start with, Phil, with you, because you were sort of spearheading the creation of this Arts Alliance Tulsa. It's known as a United Arts Fund. Many cities have them. Tulsa has not had a United Arts Fund for a long time or ever. Why the push to create one now? What is the benefit of it?
I don't think there was any time frame or any cause for us to move now as opposed to 16 years ago whenever I came to the Tulsa Community Foundation. It was just, seems like we had just been waiting and waiting and waiting to do it. And we just all got to the point of saying, okay, we're going to do it. There's no more wait and there's no more see. There's more opportunities that are out there. There are more efficient ways of raising money for the arts organizations collectively. Let's get on with getting on. And I think it was really as easy as that. We talked the Kaiser Foundation into giving us $200,000 to start it, which helps put good staff in place like Todd and his team, which we could not have done this without. But, you know, we've been talking about it for way too long. And Tulsa's a great city. It has a robust arts presence. And it was just time to put this thing together.
What are the benefits of a United Arts Fund as opposed to each nonprofit going to maybe some of the same donors or a group of donors and raising money on their own, which I assume they'll still have to do even with this alliance?
Absolutely, they will. Yeah, you know, it's similar to the United Way and the strong presence that it's had in Tulsa too. Every organization of the 39 that are now affiliated with Arts Alliance Tulsa could hire a development director and have that development director go out and make calls. But it's far more efficient to have the entire community focused on one campaign and for that campaign to have a major goal of whatever AATs will be, bring those dollars in, and then distribute them through a very deliberate grant distribution process to the organizations that need that kind of support. Beyond just the funding, though, you have all this audience participation and the buildup and just the general awareness of the arts needs that comes from a dedicated focus campaign. If you asked each group to do it independently, it's kind of a shotgun approach. We're taking a rifle approach and really focusing the community in on the arts funding needs, the audience opportunities that are out there, and everything else good that goes along with arts organizations in general.
Now, when you look at the member organizations, Todd Cunningham, it's a wide range of artistic and cultural organizations. Of the, 39 organizations, right, that made the cut, what was the qualifying criteria to be a part of this alliance?
We really only had two things. The one was that you had to have an independent 501c3 and be operating under it for at least a year, and then also that you had to operate within the city limits of Tulsa. The reasons for those two things were, those are the most basic, and because it was our first year out, we wanted to have this turn out as strong as we could and have as much participation as possible. As we move forward, the qualifications, everyone will have to qualify each year. Those will probably become more stringent. But in this first year, we wanted to be as inclusive as we possibly could. And that really opened us up to a lot of really wonderful, a very diverse array of wonderful organizations.
But there was also a vetting process a part of this so that donors know that their money is going to a real nonprofit that's really going, their money is going to basically benefit the artistic community.
Absolutely, and that addresses the question that you asked to Phil just a few minutes ago about, can organizations do this on their own? And yes, they are doing it on their own. But as far as corporate dollars are concerned, what we found in our research was that corporate money goes up from pretty much where we stand today in Tulsa at about 5% corporate giving to any arts organization, including the really large ones like Philbrook and the ballet, to it jumps up to 50% giving from corporations into a United Arts Fund. And they'll do that because of that vetting process, because they've gone through the vetting process. We had a very lengthy application for them to fill out. And so we can now go to those corporations rather than being contacted 39 times. They can be contacted once, as Phil said, just like the United Way does. It's, you know, it's a one-time thing that they can come and they can support. And also through workplace giving and things like that, it just opens up a whole new door of opportunity for the arts and for arts funding.
Yeah, and I know at the beginning when this was first proposed, I heard the rumors of trepidation among some of the larger arts organizations thinking right. that, okay, I have these longtime donors who have given very generously to my organization. Will this Arts Alliance sort of be the umbrella organization and all of a sudden those large donations go to the Arts Alliance and get diffused among all sorts of organizations? But it sounds like really the Arts Alliance is really geared towards being sort of a stamp of approval for groups that don't normally give to individual art groups, like corporations, because corporate giving was at one point a big part of arts giving in the city, but that's changed over the last couple of decades.
It was. I think it will appeal to corporations, a lot of the small corporations and small family businesses for sure, but it also appeals to people like me and my family. So, you know, we just don't know enough about the arts organizations and their needs. And I definitely don't know the needs of like 35 of our 39 organizations, the ballet and the opera and TSO. They'll come talk to me at the Community Foundation office. And so I know pretty well what their needs are and what their programs are for the year. But for the vast majority of the rest, I just don't know anything. So it'll be much easier for me just to make a $500 contribution or a $1,000 contribution as an individual and know verifiably that I am really making a difference in the Tulsa community arts organizations, and that it's broad. That, yeah, ballet and TSO and opera, they're still going to get a pretty big share of that $500 or $1,000 contribution, but every single one of those other organizations that I know nothing about that are providing really valuable arts programs into the community, they're going to get some of our support too. And there's thousands of people like me out there. So I think that's where our huge impact will be too.
All right. And if you're already a big supporter of one of the organizations, you're going to continue to give to that organization.
Yeah, you already have an affinity for whatever big arts organization you're giving to. You already have your season tickets and you're right down front and you're having your backstage tours and you know those who are in the ballet and, you know, whatever it may be, you already are substantially tied to those organizations. And I don't think that will change at all. This is more additive for those people. And then it's completely new for people like me.
Now, the Alliance has been built as sort of this economic development tool for the cultural community. And I know, Todd, you have a lot of figures on what the economic impact of the arts is in Tulsa today. What sort of difference will the Arts Alliance Tulsa make if it's successful?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because you're right. I have way too many figures, and I won't bore you with them all today. But we set a baseline with our application process. And so what we discovered was that of these 39 member organizations, they have combined budgets of $40 million a year, and they're contributing $62 million a year to the economy. And that equals $6 million in sales tax that comes both to the Tulsa community and to the state, that's supporting everything, filling potholes and hiring police and fire and doing all the things that the people always bring up they want to do. I think that when people think about the arts, they think that we're just taking. And we're here to show, and we have the figures now to prove, that we are actually giving back and benefiting the economy and helping with economic development and being able to reinvest in the community.
So how can the Alliance enhance that bottom line number of around $60 million a year?
Well, as we run the campaign and we're able to give small amounts of money to each of these groups, you know, as Phil said just a minute ago, we're here to be supplemental. Those organizations have all got to do their own fundraising. We would never, ever be over, and this was decided by our board, and it's also a national kind of a national trend. We're never going to give more than 20 or 30% of an organization's budget ever. So they've still got to do all the rest of it themselves. So they've still got all that work ahead of them. And we realize that it doesn't do anybody any good for us to go take their donors and take that money that they've got to raise. So that's why we're constantly looking for new sources of revenue. The other thing that we've kind of discovered is that the way the giving has changed or changes in a community with the United Arts Fund is pretty incredible, and it's wonderful the things they do. And another thing that was really surprising to me, I think we all know about the state budget and the things that are happening with that and the challenges there. At one time, the National Endowment for the Arts was supporting arts across the country, and that was up until kind of the early 80s, and then that all started to dwindle and has continued to decrease. At the same time, state arts councils, like the Oklahoma Arts Council, were able to support the organizations within their state.
And in fact, the NEA gave more block grants to state arts councils, but really at this particular point, we're looking at a budget situation where it's hard to see a scenario at the end of the budgeting situation with the legislature where the arts council is not at least seeing at the best severe cuts.
It's basically dwindled to this point. Today, of all the government funding that goes to the arts at all, 63% of it comes from local communities. It comes from their local city council, taxpayers, the community itself. It comes from the local city itself and not from the state or from the national government. I mean, it's just not there anymore.
So the city of Tulsa has never put a lot of money directly into arts other than through the Performing Arts Center and through cuts in rental fees for the Tulsa Performing Arts Center pretty much. I can't think of any direct payments to arts groups.
Yeah, some of the origins of Arts Alliance Tulsa also go back to just the kids from Henthorne and the other youth theater, Clark.
Right. That was probably the one thing, yeah.
Right. And they were suffering because the city of Tulsa had budget cuts, and we had to cut those programs out of our budget. And they came and they made a magnificent appeal to us, and we restored the budget for them. But G.T. Bynum and I, as city councilors, pledged that we would find a solution for arts funding. And so Arts Alliance Tulsa and any additional money that we can put toward the Arts Commission's funding of arts. You know, in the past, the Arts Commission has not been a funding source, but in the future, the Arts Commission may be a funding source. And it may be the way that we have to go about funding programs in the city of Tulsa with city of Tulsa taxpayer dollars.
Yeah. And I noticed that Clark Theater, other groups like the Tulsa Children's Museum, the Tulsa Children's Chorus, and the Tulsa Girls Art School, these are some of the smaller organizations that are part of these 39 organizations.
They are smaller, but of course, again, when you talk about the cuts in education, most of the time the first thing that's cut are the arts programs. So we are so fortunate in Tulsa to have groups like those that you just mentioned that are providing arts training in everything from visual arts to performing arts, from acting to dancing to singing to drawing. All those things. We have those in the city. They're already in place. And for us to be able to support them and have them be a part of what we're doing it's actually a true benefit and a privilege that we're getting to have a way for the citizens of the community to come and support these incredible programs that are really, really adding to our community and to the future generation.
My guests today are Todd Cunningham, the Executive Director of Arts Alliance Tulsa, which is a United Arts Fund, which is getting started here in the city. Phil Lakin has been talking about this for about 10 or 15 years. He's the CEO of the Tulsa Community Foundation. It's finally coming to fruition, and they'll be embarking on their first fundraising campaign in February. And we're talking about the 39 organizations that they'll be charter member organizations of the Arts Alliance Tulsa. And one of the things on your website, you said you're really going to go to funding sources heretofore that has not been accessed by some of the organizations. You mentioned corporate giving as one area. What about like big national foundations like Ford Foundation or the National Endowment for the Arts and Humanities? Are these going to be some of the places you're going to go for funding sources?
Absolutely. We are now open to those types of things. There are a very limited number of national grants that give to those types of to this type of organization, but they are there, and we are now able to apply. A lot of times, they're kind of like every other grant maker. They want to see you have a year or two of success before they and see how you're doing before they'll award you something. So they want to see You know, they want you to prove yourself first, and then they're more likely to give it. But we are applying for those grants. We will be applying for them and continue to do so. Beyond that, the additional funding sources are exactly, you know, what Phil mentioned. We're growing the pie. We're making the market much larger, that if we can appeal to a person who might not otherwise even think to give to the arts, if we can find 1,000 of those people to give us $10, you know, I mean, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. Do you anticipate working something like the United Way, where you're having businesses do an employee campaign or sort of a donation checklist where you either make a one-time or a small monthly gift?
Yeah, that would be ideal if we had the large and the small corporations and family businesses out there doing the very same thing, just giving their employees the opportunity to participate in assisting the arts organization. So social service organizations are rightly put in front of individuals in our community to support during the months of really August through November, and our campaign will be from February through May, so that we don't in any way affect the good campaign and quality of campaign of the United Way. So, you know, and we've talked to the United Way too, just to make sure that they knew what we were doing and that they knew that we were not going to interfere in any way, shape, or form with any of their activities.
What's been the reaction from some of the city's largest employers? Are they on board, or are they thinking about it, or where are you at with some of the big employers?
Yeah, we have some of them on our advisory board. We had a meeting earlier last month where we were able to sit in front of all of them and talk to them and start talking about this workplace giving. And the other thing, because of the amounts of money that we have to raise, which is, you know, 1/10 of what the United Way does. I mean, the United Way is, I mean, they're so far reaching. They do such incredible work, and they give so much to the community. We really just need a little chunk compared to that. So we're able to go to even much smaller businesses, the mom and pops, and go to them and say, you know, you've got, and we've got it all broken down into tiers. So we've got all the businesses that have 1,000 plus employees and the 500s, and then we've got the ones that have 10 employees. And if we can go to them and say, hey, you know, not only would each of your employees give us $20, would you as a company match it? And so, you know, I mean, you walk out with $500 from a business who's never given to the arts and never would have thought to, but we can make that possible for them and give them the avenue to do so.
And it's really important to continue to just think through the individual gifts that come up. Some people just think, okay, it's just going to be an annual gift. People will give $500, $10, whatever the number is to this Arts Alliance so that it can be spread across the 39. But until Arts Alliance Tulsa was created, nobody had a way to leave their estate to the arts organizations of Tulsa. They had to choose, am I going to go to this organization or that organization, or am I going to have my attorney try to leave my estate to 10 different organizations, which is very expensive and very difficult to do. Now they can say, you know what, I want to leave 10% of my estate to the arts organizations of Tulsa. So they can name AAT in their will or do a bequest or a trust or something else and have the Arts Alliance Tulsa be the beneficiary. So you couldn't do it before today. Now you can do it by just going down to your attorney's office and having, you know, some kind of amendment drafted to your existing will.
Well, once the fundraising campaign is complete, will the disbursements to the arts organizations be for general operating funds, or will it be competitive money where they're presenting specific proposals to be funded, or what exactly? How do you anticipate it working?
The money is intended to be general operating support. We are currently working with our independent funding panel and some consultants putting together how all that's going to flesh out. One of the most recent conversations we've had is that, you know, there'll be some percentages, but the funding panel is going to look, they're an independent panel of accountants and people who think with a different side of their brain than I do, because I can't add anything. But they're going to be able to look at some places through our application process and see where the local organizations can improve and some things they can do to help them implement best practices, to strengthen their board of directors. I mean, there's a gamut of things that we can tell from the application where there's room for improvement. So that's going to be a lot of what the funding panel also does, is to go through a checklist and to say, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to be here to support you, But we need to see change. We need to see improvement in
these
areas.
So part of this money will be to professionalize the organization, to really create a strong nonprofit function of the organization.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's self-enhancing of our future efforts, because if we can go and say, look, this improvement has happened, and this kind of money was raised beyond what we were able to do, and we were able to improve these, help these organizations through our services to be able, through workshops and consultants and other things, help them improve internally as an arts organization, which will be so beneficial. It then helps us to sell more in the future, to say, look what we've already been able to do, you as a community have been able to do, to help make these organizations even stronger.
Yeah, it gives us lots greater confidence in our additional investments that we will end up hopefully making to those organizations.
Do you see a day where these funds could be used to really almost challenge arts organizations to step up, to do, say, a concert, which they normally wouldn't try to put on, through the additional monies through the Arts Alliance, or to bring in an opera composer to do a premiere opera, or you know, a major retrospective exhibit of an artist, of a living artist?
All great ideas, and I think we'll get to ideas like that, because it's not our intent just to be a redistribution mechanism. We don't want to, you know, take $1.5 million and distribute that in, you know, like percentages across 39 different organizations, because someone can do that on their own. It's a little bit more inefficient for them to do it on their own, but we don't want to be that. We want to add value to every single dollar that we distribute. So initially, and especially starting in November as we did, we'll be able to do less of that. But as we go on and as we receive more contributions, then we'll have more opportunities to do creative things that you just suggested.
Well, and when you think of the major funders of arts, whether it's private foundations or governmental foundations like the NEA, they don't usually give money for general operations. They give for specific proposals that are going to enhance, you know, the culture in one way or another for the community that the group's serving.
Absolutely. And that's kind of true across the board. I mean, when it comes to building a building and you can give someone naming rights to it, that's one thing. When it comes to general operating, that's the least sexy thing to support, really. And so, yeah, it certainly does that. And the other thing, some things that have already kind of started happening without us even having started our campaign or raised money, is the collaboration that you spoke of is already starting to happen. For example, once we had announced our organizations, we were contacted by, we'd been out to the Botanic Garden, which is unbelievable. It's going to be so incredible. And we were so excited to go tour. And when we met with them, they said, you know, are there other ideas of things we could do? I think we were at Thanksgiving or some point. We ended up pairing them with the Tulsa Glassblowing Studio. And so the Glassblowing Studio was able to go out to the Botanic Garden and take their products and be able to work together to be able to do something really cool that otherwise would not have happened. So those types of things are starting to happen every day, and we're getting phone calls. We're actually, for the next person who will join our staff, will be in charge of just working with those organizations to help them with these types of collaborations and to help support them in various ways.
All right. Well, I know that the fundraising goal is going to be announced, in February at some point? But give us sort of an advanced blueprint of what's going to happen this spring.
On February 1st, we will announce the campaign goal. That's after the funding panel and our board has approved the campaign goal. And then we will, as soon as it starts, we will start doing the things that we've already talked about, whether it's workplace giving. We're going to be doing fundraisers all over the place. We will have team captains, similar to the way other organizations run money, that are part of an industry. They'll work with people within their industry. I always use my dentist as an example, because I was 9 months ago, I was having my teeth cleaned, and she came in and had her hands in my mouth and said, "What are you up to?" And I said, "Well, I'm working on this Arts Alliance." And of course, she couldn't understand what I was saying, so she pulled her hands out of my mouth and said, "What?" And I said, "We're working on this Arts Alliance." And she said, "That's the greatest thing I've ever heard." And I said, "Well, would you give from your practice?" And she said, "Absolutely." And I said, would you ask all of your other dentist colleagues in the city to do the same thing? And she said, absolutely. They would be all for this. And it's a great way for them to be able to contribute. So we're going to be – my dentist is going to be contacting every dentist in town. And we think we can do a lot of that. And that comes – we think it's just a – there's so many different elements to this of giving people an avenue to give, as Phil was saying earlier – individuals, corporations, small businesses, all the things he mentioned. We think that opening this door and giving this avenue is really, it's already, the response we've received already, I'd say, is really positive and exciting. I mean, we're excited that we've been received so well. And so we think giving this opportunity to our community is going to, Tulsa's such a benevolent city, and our citizens are incredible, and we think that they'll really respond to this.
So he's still looking for a teaser, though, I think, in this. And, you know, if Todd doesn't have the ability to add numbers, then, you know, I'm the other side of that brain. I don't have any creativity in my blood or in my brain. Just know that I've been – if I were running the campaign, I would just, you know, have kind of a blitzkrieg mentality. You know, here's zero, and here's the number that we're going to raise, and let's just go out and do it through a very methodical way. It's amazing working with creative people and artists in their own right who are on our staff, because we have things that will be able to be added into this campaign that only artists and only an Arts Alliance Tulsa could come up with. And so great things on the horizon from that standpoint. Only things that you would expect to see in an arts-related campaign will be part of this campaign.
All right. Well, we wish you great success with that. How do people get more information about this?
They can visit our website, artstulsa.org. They can all the information is there. They can donate on that site, find out anything they want. We also have a Facebook page, so please go like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And we're all over the place, so we're really easy to find.
All right. Well,
we'll find you too.
No doubt. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us. Phil Lakin is the CEO of the Tulsa Community Foundation, and Todd Cunningham is the executive director of the New Arts Alliance Tulsa, which will embark on its first fundraising campaign beginning February 1st. For more information about Arts Alliance Tulsa, visit artstulsa.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.
The University of Tulsa welcomes the Greater Tulsa community to a wide array of athletic events, artistic performances, exhibitions, academic lectures, and symposia held on campus. Our public events are open to all. Requests for accommodation of disabilities may be directed to Dr. Tawny Taylor at 918-631-2315. To ensure availability of an interpreter, 5 to 7 days' notice is needed. 48 hours is recommended for all other accommodations.